Towards the end of the liturgical year, every year, we read about the end times. We read about what is sure to come. We read about the destiny of humanity. And we have one destiny that all of us can very confidently swear upon, that we will die someday. We will die someday. Today, tomorrow, 10 years, 40 years, 50 years, 100 years, we are surely going to go back to God someday. But when the earth is going to end, that we do not know. That we do not know. But in the meantime, we struggle on as the pilgrims we are on this earth. And it is always normal to have some sort of trepidation, some sort of fear when we think about end times. And probably that is why some people become very gullible. I'm sure we've heard the stories of people who say, oh, it is coming tomorrow or next. And then they gather together and do away with themselves. We know the story of Guyana. We know the story in California. We know some of these groups who go about saying, oh, it is today, it is tomorrow. But what we need to take away, dear friends, is that what is important is not the day. What is important is not the hour. What is important is not the manner. What is important is the readiness of you and myself for when God comes calling, for when God comes knocking to say, come back to me, my daughter. Come back to me, my son. That is the most important thing, the readiness. The readiness to give a good accounting of ourselves before God. Because sometimes I hear that these are the end times. But because we have television, because we have computer, because we have all these electronics that bring us things in real time. Dear friends, I doubt if this world were any more dangerous than it was 100 years, 200 years ago. Was it not last week that we celebrated Remembrance Day? At that time, I'm sure people thought that was the end. There was no way this world would survive the tragedy of the First World War. It survived the first. It survived the second. God forbid that such a thing should ever happen again to humanity. But these are the things that shake our faith in ourselves. These are the things that make us think it is the end. But like I said, what is important is my readiness, not the manner with which I go back to God or through which I go back to God. The same goes for each and every one of us. And that is why it is reassuring. The second reading we've been having for the past 3 weeks or 4 weeks, the reading from the letter to the Hebrews, that assures us that we have a high priest who is not like his blood is not like that of animals that used to be expiated for our sins. They will kill a bull, they will kill a calf or whatever and sprinkle the blood all over the place. And tomorrow they will do the same because the first one was not sufficient. The second one has to be done for another family. Every family has to bring their own lamb. Every family has to bring their own calf because one wasn't enough for the entire St. Mary parish. But the letter to the Hebrews assures us that we now have one permanent, enduring sacrifice, that of our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal high priest who stands before God forever pleading our case, forever pleading our cause, forever pleading for mercy for each and every one of us. That is the reassurance, dear friends. As far as our salvation is concerned, there are two parties involved. As far as salvation is concerned, it is only you and Jesus. It is not the lamb. It is not the bull. It is not the calf. It is not the chicken. It is only Jesus and you. It is only Jesus and me. Because his blood pleads for each and every one of us equally. But let us be frank, dear friends. We have to also help our case. Supposing I was in front of a judge and I had a lawyer, representing me. And of course, I'm already in trouble because the psalmist tells us, if God were to count each one of our sins, none of us would stand. But picture me in front of a judge with this very good lawyer who is also the son of the judge, who is also the son of the magistrate, who is also the son of the one who will adjudicate my case. And he is there pleading, doing everything he can to help my case. And I'm there. There is nothing. Like you would think, would somebody tape his mouth? Just tape his mouth shut. Because he's not helping his case. Dear friends, that is our problem. Jesus has already made the case for us, which is what the second reading is telling us, which is also what the first reading tells us. Jesus has already made the case for us. But he wants us to help our own case because he has given us the blueprint of how that judgment will go. He has told us in the Gospels, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He has told us in the Gospels, love one another as I have loved you. He has told us in the Gospel, Matthew chapter 25, from verse 31 downwards, this is what I will ask you on the last day. I was in prison. Did he visit me? I was hungry. I was a stranger. I was thirsty. I was in trouble, heartbroken. Did you raise a hand to do anything for me? And if we did, dear friends, our case is closed. Everything expunged. If we did not, then we are in deeper trouble. That is how the last judgment will go. Because he who knows that has already told us that. And on the part of Jesus, what is he doing for us? He has also made it clear that he is standing bridge between God's wrath and ourselves. And not that God wants to punish us. Because he tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, from verse 38 downwards, he says, this is the will of the one who sent me. This is the will of that judge who will sit in judgment for your case, that nobody who comes to his court will be sentenced to anything but happiness. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, from verse 38 downwards, he said, I have come to do the will of the one who sent me, and this is the will of the one who sent me, that none of mine should be condemned, but that I will raise them up on the last day. That is what Jesus is doing for you and myself, dear friends. And that is why we need to help our case. We need to listen to him. We need to make sure that in the balance of things, our good deeds will always, always outweigh whatever faults that we have. That is all Jesus asks of us. Because he knows we are weak. He knows we are prone to sin. But how about we being also prone to goodness? We being also prone to love? We being also prone to mercy? We are capable of that, dear friends. And that is what is going to help our case on the day that will surely come for each and every one of us when God says, my son, my daughter, come back home. Peace be with you.